A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Hotbed, Episode 6. I'd like something up my bottom, please. I'm Lisa Williams.
I'm Annika Somerville.
And I'm Cherry Healy.
And we are The Hotbed Collective. We are a band of merry maids intent on making the world a better place, one orgasm at a time. So this episode, I'd like something up my bottom, please, you may have guessed, is not about how to lay a table or how to stroke a kitten, although those two things could be interpreted as something just as rude. This is about bum sex.
Bum sex.
I'm nervous about this one. This is the episode I'm most nervous about talking about.
We've
Why? Always wanted to be really honest with each other and talk about not dungeon scary sex, but sex that people really have, sex after kids and long-term relationship sex. And the reality is that some people do have bum sex, but we do not talk about it. And it makes me nervous. It's like, oh God, this is not something I've really ever talked about with other women before, except to our live show, which is coming up. This is definitely a tricky one, I think.
It is, yeah.
I mean, I wonder whether a little bit of it is that... As a woman, if you sort of say that you like bum sex, I still think we judge people. What do you think
people think of women that like bum sex?
Well, we used to say at school, and I think these stereotypes still exist, that your vagina was too floppy, so that if you had bum sex, it was basically because you were so loose, because you'd had so many partners, that your vagina had become like an enormous carrier bag, and the bum was the only area that was tight enough to be able to be enjoyable. So there was kind of this association that women who had bum sex were basically slags, there was very much a kind of, it was only something that really dirty people did. That's the other thing, is that the bum is all about poo as well.
Yes.
So there is that slight connection, I think, with kind of dirt and mess, and I think fear, and it is generally one of those things where
you definitely
think
comes
people
with some baggage.
Get a bit of an uncomfortable feeling talking about it.
We talk a bit on The Hotbed about how talking about sex just amongst women, sort of everyone clams up a little bit when they get into relationships, and we talk about this moment where Cherry and Annika met and they were sitting next to each other at dinner, and after a few glasses of wine they started talking about sex, and then one by one all kind of other girls at the party all came and joined in the conversation. And I think that the bum sex chat is probably not what happens at the beginning of this conversation, but maybe what happens at the very end when everyone's really quite in cups, and then they'll talk about it.
You'd have to be in a very safe place with somebody else.
Absolutely.
Non-judgmental.
It's Absolutely. Not really a conversation starter,
no,
I would say.
No.
It's not one that you will just chat about over canapes. It's not canapé chat, is it? It's kind of sleepover chat.
Yeah.
When you're taking your makeup off,
yes.
That kind of chat.
But it's funny because I think even if you were with a partner and you didn't know them very well, you would find it quite a difficult subject. So I know I've got a friend who basically early on in her relationship, she used to talk about, and I think we've touched on it, proffering the bottom. So instead of saying, I'd like to have bum sex, just raising her butt up so that it was more likely. And I was kind of like, God, why couldn't you just say, that's what I want?
You're going to present.
I've been told that part of the bum sex allure for a guy is domination. And therefore, if a woman says she likes bum sex, you take away half the fun. And that is so twisted and layered and misogynistic.
And that makes
I didn't
me
know
want,
where to start.
It makes me want to talk about it immediately.
Yes, absolutely. But
wear a t-shirt.
That is a general, the general idea is that you're, as a woman, you're not supposed to want it.
Mm.
But that is so ridiculously twisted. It's hard to know. I don't know what to do with that, really.
So we're going to have a bum sex amnesty where we are going to try and talk about, just to talk about it, and we'll do this in the live show where we have a little bit of chat between Anarchy Somerville and a lady called Kelly Ford, who is at The Book of Mum on Instagram. She's a very funny lady, and they have a little bit of a skit, which is the do's and don'ts of anal sex. And some of it is useful, some of it is just for lols. And then we bring in Dr. Karen Gurney, who is our resident psychosexologist and sex therapist. She is at The Sex Got Doctor on Instagram, and she... It was interesting because at our live show, it was kind of a show. But then at this point, the audience just got so interested and couldn't help putting their hands up and asking questions. But the funny thing is, they wouldn't ask their questions in their actual voices. They all put on silly accents just in case.
Always that typical thing where you say, a friend of mine or my sister-in-law would like to have bum sex. How would she do that? And you're kind of like, why can't you just actually voice
but
that yourself?
Even on the night, I was so nervous about talking about it that I called myself Barbara.
I did.
So that it, because it just felt easier to be Barbara that night. Sorry, Barbara, but you know. That
she's your alter ego.
She helped me that night very much.
So without further ado, we'll throw to the show and you will hear this funny chat. You'll hear Dr. Karen and you'll hear lots of Barbaras in the audience asking everything they wanted to know about bum sex, the G-spot and female ejaculation, just for good measure.
So if you think about it, like, masturbation is one of the things that you probably would find quite hard to talk about with friends. Bum sex is probably even more difficult to talk about. And that's why we thought, well, actually, why don't we actually just open it up and talk about it? That sounds wrong. It's not wrong. It's a good way of saying it.
It's perfectly natural.
Perfectly natural.
Natural.
And so, well, we're going to have a little discussion about it. And I think one of the things that's quite interesting about bum sex is that I think for a long time, women sort of felt that it was something that men wanted to do and that they didn't want to do. And it was dirty and wrong and forbidden and all of those things. And of course, there's a whole other side of it where you see a lot of porn and you see sort of women having bum sex like mad and you're like, that's probably not very healthy. So let's open it up. Let's talk about bum sex.
So do we talk about some do's and don'ts of bum sex?
I think the do's and the don'ts is important.
Well, I think a big do is, you know, have a douche. You know, make sure you're sort of clean down there and you feel bum confident. I think that's really crucial, don't you guys?
I think it's really important.
Like being beach body ready, you have to be bum buddy ready.
Bum body ready, yeah.
Bum body ready. There was another thing that we were talking about, which is how do you show your partner that you would like to engage in bum sex? And this is a very difficult thing because we talked about, you know, if you do fancy the bum sex, do you proffer your bottom? Do you actually turn around and say, no, I really want the bottom tonight. That's what I fancy. Or maybe the lube, maybe that's another way. So how do you actually engage in... We want to have bum sex. I don't want to do the other thing. I want to do the bum sex.
Well, to be quite frank with you, Anarchy, I just say I'd quite like something in my arse.
That's a good one. And where's your badge? She's got a brilliant badge, which I think makes it quite clear that she does...
I love anal. Yeah.
I love anal.
Anal. Great act in the 80s. Brilliant.
I know. We did actually think about a few times not to engage in bum sex. One of them is based loosely on personal experience, and I would say on a beach.
Yeah.
On a beach.
Good one.
With somebody that you don't like particularly, but you think looks a bit like Michael Hutchins.
Yeah.
Not a good one.
I would say don't try after a curry. Don't do that to yourself.
No. The other time not to have bum sex is if you are trying really hard to have a child, because it just won't happen. You can do a lot of bum sex, but it's not going to happen. And I do think there might be some couples who just, if they'd started doing regular intercourse, it might help. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. But okay. Also, bum sex doesn't have to be the full Mahonty. It can be, you know, a little one of those. It could be a finger and actually... Exactly, just the tip. And the G-spot is actually just inside the anus. It's not all the way up there, so
You don't need to dig your way to Australia.
Things to think about, just things to think about.
And another interesting thing to think about, I think, is piles, because that's another thing that I think we've all suffered from. If you've been through, childbirth, or you're getting on a bit, or you just have to poo really hard sometimes, you might have piles. And actually, that is quite a tricky one to navigate with the bum sex. And maybe Dr. Karen can help us with that one.
What's really interesting in the UK is that the largest bit of research into what happens in people's sex lives that happens every 10 years is on its third run. And what we know now is that more people in the UK have anal sex than the decade before or the decade before that. So anal sex is a growing phenomenon, and that's probably because it's become a lot more mainstream in porn, and also we're getting a bit more sexually liberated. But what's interesting, we haven't talked about, what about pegging?
Pegging.
They're pegging.
So this is about, in a heterosexual relationship, the female partner performing anal sex on her male partner with a strap on, with a finger. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one, because if you've ever had a boyfriend who perhaps likes having a finger up the bottom, that is a similar sort of technique. The problem is that there are many men who are not comfortable with it. So it's a high-risk sexual activity. So you could try a finger up the bottom and never see the man again, I
Cherry
think.
Cherry is proffering her hand.
I've got a question from Barbara. This is Barbara from the Wirral. What happens if you really want to try it because you think that might be a really fun thing and you think that that might be a nice thing? What are the kind of... How do you set it up that it's not painful and uncomfortable? What kind of things that you can do that will make it, and make it like a nice thing as opposed to make you cry? For the woman, for the woman.
Okay, so... I think the first silky thing sauce. To say, silky sauce, obviously.
Silky and sauce is what we call lube.
More of it than you would use for vaginal penetration, obviously. I think the key thing is, a bit like with vaginal penetration, don't go straight for it. Warm up first. Start with the tip of a finger. Take it slowly. Think about rimming. Some people like rimming. Explore.
I don't know what rimming is.
So rimming
character
is
from Red Dwarf, no?
Is it? Is it a...
It's a hologram. No. So rimming is where you use your tongue and your mouth around someone's anus.
Right,
so that's
okay.
Rimming. So a lot of women actually say that they prefer rimming and a finger than they do to a penis when it comes to anal sex. But either way, it's a good warm-up. The best thing you can do, a bit like vaginal penetration, is take it slower than you think you should and use lots of lube. Does everyone agree?
Lots of lube. Okay.
Is the anal orgasm a myth or is it real?
Ooh.
For women?
Both men and women.
So for men, obviously the prostate is a male G-spot. So for men, they can orgasm from anal penetration alone with a soft penis. So that's why pegging is quite
good. A soft penis? What does that mean?
So the penis can be soft. So if the man is receiving anal penetration from a woman, he could have a soft penis and he can still come from anal penetration.
That's interesting.
Who knew? There's lots of gasps in this crowd.
Is this news?
I would like you to produce your whistles and whistle if you knew that that was a fact.
I think that's an interesting fact.
Okay. But
one clever person at the back. Gold star for you. But otherwise, we did not know that. Thank you, Karen. Question from the crowd.
I mean, I'm not delighted that the microphone's been handed to me for this question, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Just don't.
I'm asking for a friend. Can women come from anal sex too?
Okay, so scientifically, there is an element that's possible to have G-spot stimulation from anal penetration. So yes, it's possible. It's probably not likely for lots and lots of women, but that doesn't mean that it can't be enjoyable in conjunction with other kinds of stimulation and add to the experience of orgasm. But some women can, yes.
Does anyone else have any questions? Someone else is taking the mic.
So my friend wants to know. Where is the G spot exactly?
Exactly. We need maps.
You want me to?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so the G spot is an area of spongy tissue on the anterior vaginal wall. So that's the front. So if you put your finger inside, it's if you pressed forward, it's there, about 2/3 of the way up. It's probably some remnants of prostate tissue from when we were in the womb. And, you know, our genitals were either going to be male or female. Of course, our clitorises were going to be penises. That's an incredible fact, isn't it? But it's probably remnants of that. Not all women say that they can feel it or experience it, but some do. Some women have very powerful orgasms from that kind of stimulation. Some women say they don't really feel anything at all.
Is it possible? Hold on, we just need a mic. Hold on. We have another question from the audience. Cockney is, Barbara.
This is Barbara here. Is it possible to come from the what is it called? The G spot. If you've never done it before.
Yes.
Can you go into detail? Thank you.
So. I guess it's like all aspects of our sexuality, right? It's always developing, we're always learning, we always learn new things about what works for us. It's a good thing to experiment with on your own. You can have a reach inside, you can see if you feel it. Some women say they feel it more when they get turned on and there's some changes that happen internally to the vagina. It can feel like a bit of a pea-sized lump, but sometimes it doesn't feel like anything except it might feel a bit nice when you touch it. It might feel like you need to wee a bit. It's that kind of sense. Can anyone describe it better than me? Someone over there can.
Would anyone like to put on a silly accent and explain what it's like to have this kind of orgasm?
So I feel like I want to wee when that's touched inside. Yeah.
And it feels good, right?
Yeah. And then if you keep going, it turns really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spot on. More homework for everyone. Oh, we've got one more question from the crowd.
It's just a comment to say that it feels much more like guttural and deep and kind of intense, whereas the clitoral one feels much more surface and like a rush that flows over the body.
Oh, that's interesting.
Can we talk? Because I really like don't know about this. What is the whole like female ejaculation thing?
And I was going to talk about that.
Does anybody, can we do a poll about who's done it? Does anyone do it regularly? Yeah, thank you, lowering the tone. Can we talk about that? Because I really don't... What is going on with that? Yeah, thank you, Barbara.
Maybe do a poll, because that's quite a good one.
What we will do is, if you don't mind, Karen, explaining...
Yes.
..the difference in these orgasms, and then we'll poll everyone. So can you explain?
Okay. So female ejaculation, or squirting... is what happens when that G-spot or prostate tissue is stimulated. There's quite a lot of debate about what the fluid actually is. It's probably something called urea, which isn't the same as wee, but it's kind of comes from the same place. There's usually quite a lot of it. It's kind of odorless and offensive. The people that do it probably know that there can be quite a lot of it. And actually, some people really enjoy the sensation of it. Other people, it's really annoying because it gets all over their sheets. And they don't want to do it all of the time. But
kids, I think it's annoying.
Rubber sheets. Mattress protectors.
So we're going to do a poll.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have experienced this kind of orgasm, please, can you go, hell
and
yeah!
Hell yeah! Hot damn!
Lucky ladies.
I know. Well, I think that's an interesting, because I'd never actually been aware that there was this different kind of orgasm where this, what was it called? Urea squirting came out.
There's a whole new world of pleasure out there which we need to experience.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, Everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love, every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
A lot of women said at that show, didn't they, that that was their favourite bit. And I think it was a real kind of, it was rude chat and it was funny chat, but it was actually, we were really learning something and we felt really comfortable to talk about something because there was a bit of humour and we were sort of sitting in the darkness and it was like the best kind of girly conversation there is.
I think so many women feel nervous about talking about this, not because they aren't interested and don't want to know, but because they feel they'll be judged as some heinous, what I loved about that night was that we gradually throughout the night all acknowledged that nobody was going to judge anyone, and as one person opened up, the next person did. It was like a lovely domino effect of, oh, should we just all ask those questions that we've never asked before? I learned so much that night. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So did I. There's a few things I want to point out actually that we didn't say during the show, and I think would probably help. So we just sort of had a bit of a laugh, and then Dr. Karen's stuff came in kind of quite on the heavy side, and we learned a lot. The steep learning curve, I think, is probably what we should say. But there's a few things about it. First of all, I don't think we really mentioned lube, and we did sort of briefly, but some lube is not suitable to be used with condoms. So if you are having bum sex with a handsome stranger or a not so handsome stranger,
long-term partner.
If you're using condoms, basically you need to make sure that you use a water-based lube and not an oil-based lube, because an oil-based lube will erode the condom. And we had a few lols about how bum sex means that you can't get pregnant. Well, you can. You just need to be careful that there's not too much cross-contamination from the bottom hole to the vagina. It is not unheard of, basically. So
and the other thing, I don't know whether that's the other thing, is I wouldn't like people to think that it's something almost like a tick box, something that you're not particularly keen on, but you feel like you should do that in some way.
Absolutely.
Because in the same way that people have a bucket list, so the bum is another thing on the bucket list to do. And there are some people who just, it's not going to be for you. And
that's why I'm a big believer in experimenting on your own to see if you like it before it becomes a pressured group event. Actually, you'll know if you do it gently in a relaxed space on your own, in the bath or in the shower or in bed, you'll know whether that's a really lovely feeling for you or not.
It's funny because we talked about all the methods of making it nice, and you don't really see these on screen. You don't really see them in porn. Obviously, it's something we talked about a lot in our last episode about feminist porn versus mainstream porn. But if there is a porn film out there where someone experiments first with their finger, where they go softly, softly, where they use a lot of lube, I'd really love to see it, because I don't think
that's really what we see. The only time it's actually been on a film, as far as I know, is Last Tango in Paris. And that's when Marlon Brando actually uses butter to penetrate. I can't remember the name of the actress, but there was a lot of controversy at the time, because I think it wasn't necessarily seen as consensual. And the scene is kind of it's a sort of rape scene, really. She's very much protesting. It's kind of what we were saying earlier about men enjoying it because the woman is saying, I don't want to do that, and she's resisting. And he says quite a lot of abusive language at the same time. So it's not something you see very, very often.
No, and I think that film was really shocking, and that's why everyone talked about it so much, because they hadn't seen anything like that on screen before. I've got a funny story about it. My mum is from Iran, and in Iran, when she was growing up, there were cinemas, but they were heavily censored. So she's got two funny stories about going to the cinema when she was younger. One is that...
So did she go to see it then?
She did. So I have one funny story, which has nothing to do with bum sex, but she went to the cinema with a friend. And when, you know, that I think it's Metro Goldwyn, you know, the kind of lion going at the beginning, the indent, her friend went, oh, I've seen this film before. because she just didn't go very often. So she thought that was... But the bum sex one is, she watched Last Tango in Paris and she loved it. She thought it was such a brilliant film. And when she came to England and people would say, oh, you like cinema? Like, what films do you like? She'd always say Last Tango in Paris. Mm. And people would go, oh, that one's a bit racy. And she didn't really know what they were talking about. And it was only years later when it was on TV and she saw it with this whole bum sex scene. And
that had been cut out.
It had been cut out completely and she had absolutely no idea.
Because actually the problem is, if you introduced yourself and said that that was one of your favourite films, it does almost position you as quite a racy individual.
Exactly.
It's kind of like 9.5 weeks.
Yeah, she probably talked about it over canapes and then had no idea why. And she was probably thinking, why is this not appropriate cocktail party chat? In the 70s as well, it would have been, or the 80s. So I do think that. I think it's a bit of a cruel twist of nature that the bum is both... amazing area for the, well, it's very erogenous, but also where the poo comes out, like we talked about before. I mean, it's kind of, it's just a cruel trick.
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Why is it so erogenous? Can't it just do its thing and we can just, you know, but it's like temptation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Pandora's box.
It's a dual function in a kind of really perverse way.
It is. It's a strange thing, isn't it? And it's weird that, I mean, the bum generally is really fetishized.
Fetishized. It's a really hard word to say. Thank you.
Because I was just thinking that if you look at, you know, one of the biggest images of last year, I think, was Kim Kardashian's bum.
Yes.
Do you remember on that famous cover? Was it Paper Magazine?
Break the Internet.
Yeah. And I think her bum, I mean, I watch a lot of Keeping Up with the Kardashians late at night, and I must say, their bums are just incredible. And even as a woman, I can totally respect the fact that this kind of, this tiny waist with this arch at the back.
The Calvin Klein advert, you know, the new one that's come out with them all together, is mesmerising. Mm. And I don't want it to be, but I sometimes walk past that shop and I just stare at it and I think, they know what they're doing. It is absolutely, because it's it's a completely unusual shape. You know, it's almost worse than the Kate Moss heroin look. Mm. It's that hard to get.
It's very hard. It's very, very unnatural because it's very, I suppose it's kind of very, I mean, I think she's, well, there's been discussion that she might have had
ribs removed
to kind of bring in her waist.
You're right, last year was the year of the bottom. So I think this is absolutely, you know, a conversation that needs to be had. Mm. We're very on topic, ladies.
Yeah. And we talked about Friends just quickly. I wondered, do you remember that episode where I think the girls are all telling Chandler, they give Chandler a kind of map to the woman's body and they say, this is how you please a woman in bed. And it's all about point one, point two, three, two, five, four, six. And you're watching it thinking, like, I want to know what these points are kind of correlating to. I really want to see that map. Like, it's a really funny episode, but it's also like, we need a map. And I think that the bum, like, not just the butthole, but the bum itself is a really erogenous area. And I mean,
it's funny, you can't actually see the hand movements we're making because Lisa is persistently sort of putting circles around in the air.
She's doing air bum.
You know, we're all kind of using these very sort of expansive gestures to bring to life the notion of a bum shape.
As though none of us knew what a bum actually looks like. If you hadn't done that, Lisa, I would have been confused.
I'm summoning a kind of bum ghost by doing this. Hopefully a bum spirit will appear.
There is a hotbed bum in this room.
Definitely, three of them. But I think... the bikini line, you know, when I'm doing the bum thing again, I just can't stop doing this,
it's
bum
like a
thing.
It's really
imagine fun. Like a bum wearing some knickers, and then imagine the knicker line as it goes over the bum cheeks.
Yes.
Okay. That line is really erogenous and amazing. And so that's kind of like warming up to a bit of bum play, but it's possibly a good starter.
But that's interesting, and that's the other thing we haven't talked about is for men, obviously it's erogenous as well. That's another word I find really difficult, so fetishage and erogenous. But anyway, it's another one of those things where, you know, you have a lot of discussions about men liking to have a finger put up the bum while having sex, but I know that women find it really hard to judge when that's appropriate and when it isn't,
or if they want to do it,
or when they want to do it. And actually that's something that men really enjoy as well, potentially. So it's another area. So if you're not necessarily interested in being penetrated yourself, you could be talking to your partner or just experimenting a bit with their bum.
Pegging as we discussed,
pegging, but for me pegging just, it sounds quite sore.
What about bottom tickling?
Yeah, that sounds very carry on, doesn't it? I'm sort of imagining someone with a big feather duster sort of chasing me around the bedroom, giving me a good tickle.
What's wrong with that?
There's a whole world of fun to be had, but it's very rare that I think people dive into it, actually.
Now, someone who has dived into the world of all kinds of fun on our behalf is Alex Fox, who is a sex educator and sex journalist. She came to our live show. She's sort of, I'd say she's a kind of premier female sex journalist in that she does do a lot of, well, she used to work for a magazine called, oh my God, what Bizarre. Was it called? Bizarre Magazine, that's it, where she did all kinds of stuff out in the field and reporting back. And she is an ambassador for Durex, amongst other businesses. She's just always out there with really open, non-judgmental advice. She's really good fun. She's got a brilliant turn of phrase. So Anarchy went to meet her. What was that like?
It was really amazing. I mean, I followed her on Instagram anyway. And I mean, one of the things you'll notice about her, if you ever saw her on Instagram and followed her, is that she's just incredible the way she looks. She always changes the colour of her hair. The day she came to meet me, she had these mad trousers on, which were kind of made out of plastic, and you tie them at the sides. And so, I mean, she's quite kind of outgoing in terms of her appearance. She knows everything about sex, like literally everything. And I think she was, and I can be completely, she wouldn't mind me saying this, but she'd come to our live event and she felt quite bad because I think she thought we were a couple of numpties for some of it, and because we were talking from the heart, but we didn't necessarily, weren't as rigorous as she is. And she really doesn't, and because she's been talking about the subject for so long, all she wants to see is people being really well informed and knowing their stuff. And she's right, and I think we feel the same, is that you should never sort of just offer advice just off the top of your head. So she likes to, and that's why we have Dr. Karen, of course, is sort of knowing more about what are the ins and outs, what's the correct way of doing things. But she's great fun. She's really, really good. And I just found it nice because she's quite young. And I think we hear a lot of really negative stories about young people and sex generally. And she's very positive. So she's basically of the mindset, if you enjoy doing something, do it. That's what she feels. And she's like, there's no right and wrong. Just don't feel pressured into it. And just make sure that you're really well informed. So that's what I like about her, because I get kind of tired of all this doom and gloom around people are watching too much porn. No one's having good sex anymore. And actually, if you meet someone like her, you think, no, do you know what? Young people are having sex and they're enjoying themselves.
Yes, they are.
So you went to talk to her about many things, such as sex toys and how she's a sex toy reviewer, as we now are. And did you ask her about the bottom sex?
We did. We talked about, so we'll probably have to come back to her again because we had such a detailed discussion. But we did talk about bum sex. And interestingly, she's got some practical advice. And I think she echoes some of the things you've said already, which is actually, think about trying things on your own. So she sort of gives some tips on things you can do, and toys actually as well that might work in that context. So yeah, so I think we get some good sort of practical advice there.
Here she is.
Today we're really excited because we've got Alex Fox with us. And I mean, Alex is just an incredible lady. She's sitting opposite me today. She's got the most amazing trousers on that I've ever seen.
I'm not even sure that they're strictly allowed to be called trousers. They're sort of like pantomime pantaloons, aren't
they? Well,
they're
definitely, they're really making me think that I'm not up on the style stakes anymore. So they're very, very cool.
I'm not sure you're supposed to be up or down or even sideways on this little piece of kit that I've got here. It's not really what you'd expect somebody with my job to wear, I suppose, because it's not the most slinky redinky thing, is it?
Well, this is why, I mean, I love following you so much on Instagram. So let's kick off by, so we're going to be talking to you about all kinds of things today, but I think our listeners really need to know a bit more about you. When I get an email from you, I basically get imposter syndrome because you've won so many awards, and I see all the awards at the bottom of your email, and I just think it's incredible. But just give us a little heads up about what you do, what's your speciality, what's your passion?
I am a journalist and a broadcaster and also a sex educator. I would say there's more slashes in my name than there are are slashes at a Guns N' Roses band, tribute band convention. I started out working as an editor on Bizarre magazine, which was an alternative culture glossy mag, primarily aimed at men, but it actually had a really large female readership.
I think
as well.
I remember that.
Yeah, yes. I think the split was about 60-40, so we had a lot of women reading it too. And it did what it said on the tin. It was bizarre. It did. We covered weird and wild alternative culture, body modifications, so people tattooing their eyeballs, splitting their tongues in half. half, stretching holes in their scrotums, people doing experimental music and art, like the weirder, wilder fringe end of culture. And I absolutely loved that job. But it meant that I wrote a lot about unusual fetishes and kinks. And I got quite a name for myself for writing about people with fetishes for the smell of bleach, or folks who wanted to try underwater bondage, or people who got off on dressing as space monsters from the outer realms of Zorg or whatnot. And then when 50 Shades of Grey happened,
oh yes,
suddenly everyone and their mum and their auntie Sue all wanted to know about S&M and bondage. And so a writer who was immersed in that culture, I suddenly found myself with a lot more offers from mainstream newspapers and websites. So I started writing an agony aunt column for Men's Fitness, and then I was approached by Durex, and it all started snowballing, or just balling. There was a whole, lot of balls all of a sudden in my life. And people started to approach me to ask me for personal advice. And I thought, well, I'm doing my best with the journalistic skills I have here to research things, but I feel like I need to go and get some training, because I lived and still do sometimes live in fear of telling someone to do something with their foof or their flump or their wang dang doodle hammer and it being wrong, and them ending up with genitals looking like they've been in a lawnmower accident or something, you know. So that's one thing that I do. I work with Brooke. I do a podcast called The Modern Man. That's man with two N's, because the main host is Ollie Mann, who used to do a lot for LBC.
Yeah.
He's all over the Beeb and Radio 4 at the moment. I'm very proud of him. That's a magazine-style podcast where we talk about trends at the beginning. Then there's a big, hulking, great, meaty interview in the middle with interesting folk. And then I do a section on the end called The Foxhole, which is a bit like those old agony aunt columns Brilliant. That you found in Sugar. And listeners, we're now on season 7, so I think we're like 70 odd episodes in.
Wow, so you are a seasoned podcaster.
For the UK, yeah, because yes. we're very much behind in the US than compared to the US, rather. I think the UK are now just starting to lube
it's
ourselves
really funny,
up and
isn't it?
Smooth
think,
into the podcast
I know, it's
world.
So strange, because I can remember first listening to Serial, actually. I came
God,
into podcasts
my house has
via that way.
Never been so clean as when Serial
know,
was on.
Serial, and then S-Town, and all of those kind of amazing kind of American series where I was just absolutely hooked. And there's one called Dirty John as well,
oh,
which you must have listened to.
I listened to Dirty John all in one go. I mean, again, this is a very sexual image for my sexperty self. I like to wear a bum bag in the shape of a watermelon slice and have my phone in my bum bag.
That's a clever idea.
I don't like those holder things that go
no,
on your
No, because you can't really, once you've got it attached to your arm, it's then very hard. We're sort of miming. The running
things.
Thing, the running,
yeah. I'm old fashioned. I like a bum bag, anything bum related, which will probably
we'll
move
be
on to, I imagine. Yeah. But I like to do my cleaning or do my admin and stuff whilst listening to podcasts.
It's funny because
something I love about them actually.
Yeah, no, it's a revelation, because I can remember having a few conversations with friends and they were saying, "Oh, but I don't commute, so I don't have those opportunities to listen to them." And I was saying, "No, but listen, you can actually just put it on while you're having a shower. Like you can put it out." On the side of the sink, or you could do it while you're doing the washing up or whatever. So actually it can be instead of radio, because I mean I have radio on all day, and I mean podcasts are just brilliant, because I feel like you come away, I always come away with some sort of tangible quote or a story. I'm going mad on Adam Buxton at the moment because I came late to his party, so I'm listening a lot to that.
I'm jealous that you've got all that to listen back to.
The terrible thing is that I'm really gullible, so I keep thinking, like, you know, if he's doing specific things, I think, oh yeah, we should do that too, but it's because I'm quite fresh to it, whereas you've got way more experience. You're probably like, actually, you're just trying to copy Adam Buxton. But one of the things with this episode that we're going to be talking a little bit about, and actually our conversation we're going to cover a little bit too, is kind of the whole area of bum sex, which
bum fun,
which was funny because it came out of an article that somebody contributed to our website, which was advice from a gay man to straight women. So he had basically written...
Oh, who was that?
Well, he did it anonymously.
Right.
So essentially he'd sort of written this article saying that there were certain things that sort of straight women probably didn't explore and could explore more. And
that's a brilliant article.
And so we sort of... Well, actually, it's funny because a long time ago, someone wrote this book, a gay guy wrote this book, because he's just not that into you, which again was quite a funny book because it was about sort of gay lessons for straight women.
There's a really good book actually along those lines, which which is pretty much sex tips from a gay man for straight women. I know Coco de Mer stock it. The reason who wrote your article is there is a brilliant sex educator called Master Dominic.
Yes, I've heard of him. Yeah, I want to meet him.
He's got wit drier than a Pampers lockaway core as well. He's one of my dear friends and a very respected professional in his field. But he runs classes at Coco de Mer, very upmarket sex boutique.
I always go in there and I think it looks amazing, but it seems to be in another...
It's not cheap, though,
is it? It's not cheap.
I mean, that you look at the prices and all of your holes simultaneously clamp up.
I know. And the thing is, if you're already entering into something where you're not quite sure whether you like that thing, then investing in a really, really, really expensive version of that thing is quite high risk.
Well, we can talk about that because I think that plays a big part in people choosing a sex toy. Mm. And it's a question that I'm asked a lot, you know, does spending more money equal a better toy? And there are pros and cons there. But Master Dominic, to contextualise, he is a gay male dominant, so the male equivalent of a dominatrix. And he offers professional services to other men in that capacity. Mm. But he's also a brilliant teacher because as a gay man and a pro, he knows, for example, how it feels to receive a blowjob and also to give one. He knows how it feels to be penetrated during anal sex and how it feels to be the penetrator. Mm. And he's given me so many good tips. Right, I'm going to have to definitely.
His name keeps coming up, actually. So I think we need to sort of get him on for a future podcast because he just sounds like such an expert in this area. If we're going to be talking about a little bit about bum sex, though, what would you say? Because the statistics, and I think they sort of show that it's more common now for people to do it and to add it into their repertoire. And interestingly, again, I keep harking on back to sort of my youth. It was definitely kind of a taboo thing to do. And it was also, I think it just wasn't on the kind of, on our sort of list of things. So it was quite rare when I was a sort of teenager and growing up. I can't recall anyone having tried it, you know, apart from gay friends. There was like nobody really talking about it at all. Whereas now it's obviously become more commonplace. And part of that feels interesting. And then there's part of it where you're kind of also like, oh, is this a good thing that this is happening? Or is this a bad thing? Or is it actually, should we not be judging about it at all? And I guess for us, we're kind of like, we're targeting women who are going to be listening and probably thinking, do you know what could I get out of bum sex if I try it, if I sort of ask my partner if this is something that we can do together? Because I think it's kind of for women of a sort of older generation, it probably hasn't really come in, you know, as being something that we would try.
I think there's a host of reasons why it is, according to statistics, as you say, a more commonly tried and spoken about thing these days amongst younger people. There's definitely an influence from pornography there. Mm. I don't know whether you've read or listened to John Ronson recently did a fantastic documentary called The Butterfly Effect, which is all about how the proliferation of free pornography on the internet, where that sprung from and the effects it's had on porn actors, on porn consumers, on young people. Mm. And one conclusion he drew was that because so many people don't pay for their porn, the only pornography that they will pay for includes extreme acts. Mm. So actors and actresses are being expected to do more and more hardcore things earlier and earlier in their careers because that's the only place where they can make bank from the wankers, you know. And that includes anal sex. It's much more expected that anal sex will be something that they'll do on camera and therefore more people are seeing it online. But whereas that's perhaps a more negative view, you could also argue that we have a better understanding of biology these days. Mm. We know that people who are cisgendered males, cis meaning the gender identity that they have is the same as the body that they were born with, their prostate can be accessed via the bum hole. So for guys, there are all manner of delights and shivery feelings that you can get by going up the rabbit hole, so to speak. For women as well, now we know that the anal passage is rich in nerve endings. Mm. If you stimulate it in the right way, and it has to be the right way, which we'll get onto, it can feel fantastic. Plus, I think these days people are just, they're more open-minded about being open-minded.
I love these catchphrases of yours. You're like,
you tell it like a rhyme. It's like pun Tourette's, I think, sometimes, unfortunately. It comes out before I have even thought about it. But I think it is a positive thing that people are less stigmatising of their own bodies. I still think we've got a long way to go, but people are less feeling less about a part of themselves, any part of themselves, is something that they should be ashamed of. Mm. And that pleasure in whatever form, via whatever means, is something that we should all be aiming for, rather than feeling like
guilt or shame.
Guilt, yeah, about something which we're born with, no?
So if I was going to ask you, because I know I want to move on to talking about sex toys as well, but if I was going to ask you, so if I'm somebody who hasn't really done bum sex before, uh-huh. and I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, do you know what? I would like to spice things up a bit and I want to have a
go at
doing
this. Well, don't put spice there, for God's sake.
I don't want to put my spice rack in there. What should I do? And what are the ways that can make it an enjoyable experience versus something that I'll be like, oh my God, I am never doing that again? Is there any advice you would give to somebody who's kind of a beginner into
arena? It's interesting you mentioned toys, actually, because I work sometimes with Love Honey, who are UK's biggest online toy store. They've seen sales of butt plugs and ass toys rise in recent years, and that's both sexes buying them as well. It's not just gay guys trying it with their partners. It's people of all identities. So for some people, trying with a toy rather than with a penis is the best way to go first. Yeah. But rewinding, I would say, if you want to try bum sex for the first time, I would say don't think of sex as putting a penis in a hole. I think there's all sorts of other bum fun that you can and should do first before you try putting the wang dang doodle hammer all the way up there. I'd also say don't do it with a partner first. Explore on your own. When you're in the shower, use your finger or a small toy to explore how it feels to play with that area. See how the muscles feel. See how relaxed you become. See, get to know at what points your body feels tense or what kind of resistance you can expect, what feels good. So suss it out on your own before you start doing it with someone else. Then you'll know if something's feeling good or if something is maybe pushing your boundaries a bit too much. And I'd say the same for guys as well. It's a really good idea to know your own body before you invite somebody else to probe the unknown area. Next up, I'd say whatever you're doing, use lubricant. Plenty of thick
lubricant.
We're
big fans of lube, actually.
Well, lube is one of the best sex toys that you can get your hands on, pretty much, and your other parts. But it's particularly important and essential for anal fun because, unlike the vagina, which has its own sort of wonderful water fountain to make its own natural lubricant, bums don't. Bums don't do that. They can't make their own moisture, so you have to put moisture there. Try not to use a lubricant that contains numbing agents. A lot of
Which ones are those then? Because I've
quite
actually heard
few,
of that.
Quite a few lubes that are aimed at bum fun will contain a mild anaesthetic, like a small amount of benzocaine, maybe 5% benzocaine. That's designed to make anal sex more comfortable, but if you can't feel the signals that your body is giving you to tell you that you're not ready yet, that you're not stretched and dilated enough for someone to put a penis or a toy in you, or that there's a small tear or an abrasion or something, God forbid. If you can't feel that, there's much more of a chance that you will do yourself damage. So it's always better to be able to feel it. Anal sex done properly and slowly with lots of warm-up shouldn't hurt. If it's hurting, it's a sign that you've either taken it a bit too fast, that it's not going to happen that day, or that evening, or that something's gone a bit wrong. So it's important to be able to feel. Things that you might want to do are explore rimming, which is licking the area around the entrance entrance to the bottom. Some people get worried about the cleanliness of that. If you both hop in the shower first, then that can help to relax you both and and give you some reassurance about hygiene. Mm. If you're worried about smells or tastes, then that's what flavoured lube is for. Provided that you're...
I'm
wondering what you're getting.
I was getting some lube out.
You're getting a tissue. I also just have to
point out, sorry to interrupt you here.
That's okay.
It is Siberian weather outside, and I think I've been sitting through our interview with just a drip on the end of my nose, which is not very attractive.
Well, we are talking about bits of the body that can produce their own natural lubricant.
So, yeah, I wasn't reaching for my non-anaesthetic lube, but I was reaching for a tissue just to try and dab my nose so that you didn't think, oh, my goodness, she's just sat there like Rip Van Winkle with a big drip on the end of her nose.
Well, actually, do you know that because your nasal passages contain mucosal membranes, the same type of membrane, roughly, that are in your vag, if you take antihistamines or certain products that are designed to stop you sniffing or stop or dry up your nose, they can also dry out your down belows.
I didn't know
so
that.
If you're someone who suffers from hay fever and you're taking quite strong antihistamines, you might want to reach for some extra lube because it can dry up your foof as well.
That is so fascinating. It's been really brilliant. I think I'm going to wrap things up now.
No worries.
We've touched on so many different areas, literally. That wasn't a pun. It's very difficult not to do innuendo and pun when you're talking about this subject.
Welcome to my world.
Yes. And I think you've got it down to a T. Is that a pun?
A T and A.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been really, really interesting talking to you and getting your perspective. And I think what's lovely as well is that you're very positive. You've got a positive energy about you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think certainly for some of my generation, there's a lot of kind of doom and gloom about, I think generally kind of feeling like, oh, things used to be better in the past and now all this stuff is coming along and we're becoming less emotionally connected and all this other shit. I actually think it's nice. It's refreshing to hear a perspective which says, you know what, there's some good things on the horizon. There are some bad things too, but there's some good things that we can think about. And actually sex is something that can go on beyond your kind of 40s, 50s, 60s and tech and those kind of things might be something that could actually help rather than hinder.
There is so much to look forward to. There's a woman called Joan Price, who I admire greatly, who talks specifically about senior sex. And she is talking about people still having sex in their 70s, 80s and beyond. I think it's right to be aware of how your body changes, not only as you age, but also from week to week within a monthly cycle or if you're going through the menopause or if you've just had a baby, things like that. Be aware that your body will have different desires, different needs, and respond to different things. But also, over the course of your life, don't limit your expectations of what sex should and can be. It's primarily about you and possibly your partner having a damn good time.
Having fun.
If you're doing that, if you're enjoying yourself, then whatever you're doing it right.
You're doing it fine.
Yeah. Okay. At the end of the day, it's about having a good end to your day.
Yes.
So it really doesn't matter what you're doing, so long as you're achieving that aim. Ignore the box sets. Ignore what the media tell you. Ignore anything apart from your ignore anything apart from your feeling of whether you're having a good time or not.
I think that's great advice. So thanks a lot, Alex Fox, for joining us today.
That interview gives me major FOMO because I really wanted to go and interview her, but I was away, so I couldn't. So you got all the fun, Aniki, but hopefully I will see her again. And anyone that likes the sound of lovely Alex Fox, look at her on Instagram. She's Alex with an I, so it's A-L-I-X Fox, Alex Fox on Instagram. She was wearing something cool, as Aniki said, and that has made me realise that we haven't discussed what we're wearing today, which we normally do every single podcast to set the scene. So to set the scene, we are again in Cherry's boudoir. We're now fixtures here, I think, just like her bed and cushions, we are here.
Hooray!
And there's some quite extraordinary outfits going on. Cherry, what are you wearing?
I am wearing a high visibility onesie because I'm nervous about this subject and part of me just wants to hide under the duvet and just let you guys do it. And the other part of me thinks, no, come on. Part of this is talking about difficult things with people you feel safe with. So I am making myself just confront my fears and I'm just going for it. So I'm high visibility facing my fears.
Brave. Well done. The opposite of camo.
Yeah, the opposite of camo. All right.
Anakin. Love it.
So what I did is I went to the sex shop, and I like to go to the one, there's one actually in Soho, which is the old fashioned sex shop with the curtain. There's only one, it's near... it's just near Boat Street Market anyway. So you go in there and they actually sell butts. So they're plastic butts and they vibrate. Mm. So what I've done is I've stuck one onto the front of my body, one on the back, and I've got one here. So I've got three vibrating butts. And I'm just thinking, because I feel slightly nervous about the whole notion of bum sex myself. Mm. So I'm thinking that this could be quite erotic, that people could penetrate me or play with different bits of my butt, but it's not actually my own butt. It's just this vibrating artificial
butt. So when
butts.
Somebody calls the vagina the front bottom, you actually do have a front bottom.
I do. And exactly. And if you think about it, actually, yeah, your boobs are a bit like... Because that's another thing you could do, actually, if you're nervous about bum sex, is you just pick up your large breasts and let somebody penetrate those instead.
That's a whole other episode.
You've got front bottom, back bottom, top deck bottom.
But we were conjuring up breasts with our hands, and I mean, sorry, buttocks with our hands, and now three pairs of buttocks have appeared and attached to Anarchy.
You can't hear the noise because it's a low-level hum.
It is. Very low. Lisa, frequency. What are you wearing?
Well, I have been doing a bit of research into underwear for Series 2. And in my travels on the internet, from underwear shop to boudoir shop, I have found what's called an open bikini. And it's basically a bikini that shows off both your vagina and your boobs.
So I have one question about
that. What the hell is the point in that?
That's
why I'm wearing it. I'm making a bit of a conceptual art statement, which is a little bit like, if you can't see the chair, is the chair actually there? Mine is, if the bikini doesn't cover your bits, is it actually a bikini?
It's not.
Or is it just your bits?
Is it just a piece of string around your waist?
Well, an open sandwich is still a sandwich. So an open bikini instead of bikini.
It's interesting. So when you go, because you've just come back from holiday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you're sat here, it's quite a cold day outside.
Yeah.
Did you use this look on the beach? Did it work? I mean, because you've obviously, you know, you've been striding around in it a little bit.
The timelines are extraordinary. That's all I can say.
Did it chafe in the sea? Because I always have a slight concern about the nether regions in the seawater.
No, seawater was very healing to my nether regions.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah, and after this I am... actually going to take myself to the Tate Modern and display myself as a piece of art.
Can you Instagram flange. It, please?
Yeah, check out.
I've got one little question. Mm. Can you just answer, what is flange? This is a word that I think has a sexual
flange
connotation. And I need to, it's just been bugging me. I just need
flange
that.
Flange is another word for vagina.
It's a fanny. It's a vulva.
Volvo.
Yeah, vulva. It's a vulva.
Okay.
So that's what we're wearing. We haven't set our homework yet, but it's pretty clear, if you have read between the lines, that we're asking you to engage in a little bit of bottom tickling with yourself. So be brave. As Karen said, have a reach around, have a tickle if you haven't already. You don't need to use your own hand. You could use somebody else's. You could use a shower head. You could use a toy.
One of the things that has been recommended before is, if you are going to experiment with that area, is to stimulate yourself at the front at the same time, because they work together almost like different instruments in a band.
That's interesting. Yes. But how many hands do you need for that?
Only two. Back and front. I mean, the more the merrier, to be honest. Okay. If you've got extra, I would use them.
Okay.
My seven hands will finally come handy. Handy. Now, our other homework is podcasts. So it's come to our attention since starting The Hotbed that this is the first podcast that some of you are listening to. And we're amazingly touched and flattered that you have become a podcast subscriber because of us. I know that some of you have downloaded podcast apps, etc., to listen to us. So hello and thank you. And as a service to you, we thought we would give you a little bit of an insight into the other podcasts that we're listening to, because, you know, while you have it, while you have your podcast player, make the most of it. So Cherry, which podcasts do you like listening to?
My favourite is Desert Island Discs. I absolutely love it. And I love that sometimes they're interviewing big Hollywood celebrities and sometimes they're interviewing an economist. So it's lovely and mind expanding.
And are there any particular ones that we should listen to?
The Kevin Costner one. I'm sorry to mention the Hollywood star. He's just a dream. Mm. And the story's really interesting, of Dances with the Wolves and how he turned it down. And then the writer came and lived on his sofa and he went, oh, all right, well, let's make it. And it turned into this gigantic film. So the stories behind the films are really unexpected. And I suppose I always think that the actors are brought in a big helicopter. But for that, it was very much involved. It was very kind of rooty, that story. So I love that.
Okay, great. Aniki, what about you?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier, possibly when I'm talking to Alex Fox, about Adam Buxton, and I came very late to it. So it's, I feel really sad because it's like one of those things. I think someone was saying they were talking about Mad Men, and it was kind of 3 years after it was done. And I sometimes do that. I sort of hit on a box set after everybody.
Has anyone watched The Wire?
Yeah, exactly. Has anyone heard? There's this really good series called The Wire. But literally, he is the funniest thing. And I do a lot of travelling on buses. So my favourite pursuit is to sit on the front of a bus with my headphones on, listening to Adam Buxton. And I just think he's really funny. And my favourite bit in it is at the beginning when he takes his dog for a walk. Mm. Lisa's frowning at me. She's thinking, fucking
it's
hell.
It's so funny.
Adam Buxton. It's wonderful. I told her all about the Adam Buxton and now she's telling me. And there's actually nothing more irritating than somebody telling you about a piece of culture that you already hit on 6 months ago. So I apologise for that. But
me and Buckles go way back.
You did mention him to me a long time.
BBC Six Music, listen to him then. And he talks about Black Squadron. And there's so many in-jokes from that period when he did stuff with Joe Cornish. But I'm actually really happy for him because he and Joe Cornish were this sort of partnership. And then Joe Cornish went off to Hollywood and he wrote Tintin and he had a cameo in the latest Star Wars film. And poor little Adam Bucks and Buckles has always sort of played very much the sort of underdog to Joe. So I'm really happy for Adam because in the last 2 months, everyone is talking about him. And
yeah.
He's always in the top 10 and I love him.
Turn it into a TV show. My favourite episode is he does an interview with Kathy Burke and it is possibly the best interview I've ever heard. And I love her anyway, because she is literally, if you want to hear a woman who does not give a shit about what other people think, then Kathy Burke is your person.
I've got loads of ironing this afternoon, Aniki. That is what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to that while I iron.
Such good advice. And
let's combine the two, because actually she did a really great Desert Island Discs.
Oh, amazing.
So if you want both of those things, go for it. And my favourite podcast I'm going to recommend to you, in fact, I've got two. I want to recommend The Naughty Step, which is a parenting one. I know lots of you are parents, so it's done by two journalists, Stuart Heritage, who writes for The Guardian, and Robin Wilder, who is Aubin on Instagram, and she does the parenting column in The Pool, and how convenient, they are married and have two children.
I really like her, actually.
Yeah, she's so good for like an honest view of parenting, and she's really funny, and they do this podcast about parenting where they talk about their two kids, the little ones, and they review kids' books as if they're on the review show or something. So that is wonderful, The Naughty Step. And for an American one, I'm going to shout out to one called Call Your Girlfriend, which is two women, and one's on the East Coast and one's on the West Coast of America, and essentially it's a conversation between the two, and it takes in US politics, which I find really interesting, feminism. And it's proper quite hardcore feminism. They've done their reading and they know their stuff and pop culture. So they're not above talking about the Kardashians. So look that one up too. Call Your Girlfriend. One of the presenters has just found out that she has cancer. So on Instagram, she's talked about that. She's had a shout out from Hillary Clinton. She does a lot about women's health and she is super funny at the same time.
So I basically will start talking to you about that in about 6 months.
I can't wait for you to recommend that.
In 6 months, I will tell you exactly what I think about it because I'm usually just slightly lagging behind. So I will be listening to it.
The great thing about that, Aniki, is that you only absorb the best stuff because everyone's done the research.
But also, I think there is something that goes on because I then go back to my people in West London in the suburbs and I then sort of spread the word.
Good.
So that there is sort of a very sort of gradual spreading of trends,
yes,
that happens from Lisa to me to the suburbs of Hanwell and then out beyond.
So Hanwell's currently on The Wire. In 6 months it'll be Adam Buxton. And in 12 months everyone will be tickling bottoms.
Hanwell is just on podcast journey. There is something called podcast. That's where Hanwell is. Actually, I shouldn't say that because we're very sophisticated.
All as right. are we.
As we are not.
So tune in next week. The next episode is all about sex on screen and it's called Watching All the Hot Doctors on Grey's Anatomy. So tune in.
So, how was that for you? If you enjoyed it as much as we did, we would love you to rate, review, and subscribe to The Hotbed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to listen. Each one makes a massive difference.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.